Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So I'd like to begin today by talking about a story coming out of activistpost.com. And the title is, Mandalay Bay admits staff visited Paddock's room 10 times before shooting. Noticed nothing. Now, this is a story that I have discussed in length more than once, and really diving into the greater idea of the Vegas false flag shooting and whether or not the entire story, in my opinion, was more of a distractionary measure or something that was exposed and continues to be exposed. I definitely think that the story itself has awoken a lot of people to the idea of a false flag and really the corruption behind the scenes in the FBI and the intelligence community and the government in general. But this story, I think, is important yet again because it shows you the contradiction, the continuing contradiction, and really the idea that so much time has passed since this story has come out and still we have nothing. So reading directly from the article, 3 months after the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history, yet another crucial change in the narrative has occurred as MGM Resorts International is now claiming that the hotel staff at Mandalay Bay had at least 10 interactions with the suspect, Stephen Paddock, in the days before the shooting. At least two of these interactions occurred on October 1st, the day that Paddock is alleged to have killed 58 people and injured more than 500 by launching a shooting spree out of his hotel room window on the 32nd floor. A spokesperson for MGM told the Las Vegas Review-Journal that the interactions on that fatal day consisted of a room service delivery and a visit from housekeeping. And again, it's important to realize that still no camera footage has been released from one of the most largely surveilled areas in the country. I continue to question whether or not these tidbits that continue to pop out are intended to keep our attention on this shooting while other greater events across the world and in this country continue to be carried out. But I still think this is important. I get a lot of complaints from people asking why I don't cover the Las Vegas shooting and why I don't continue to rehash these events. And really for me, it just continue. I've said this many times that I think that at this point, kind of like we talked about the JFK case in general, that we know that they lied at this point. I think the only people that don't realize that are ones that have just refused to acknowledge the facts at hand. We know that there's lied. We know that the intelligence community lied. We know that there's gross manipulation going on in this case. So I think in a lot of ways we've won in this case. We've acknowledged the fact that they're lying to us. So anything from here forward, I think, is just going to continue to try to manipulate the story because we're never going to get the full truth. Just like we saw with the JFK files, we still did not get the whole truth. And yet it was painted, it was released as if it revealed all, and it really didn't. So we're never going to find out for sure, because I truly think that there was some gross manipulation here on the government's part. But the real question should be whether or not that was the intention, because I've never seen a false flag this openly revealed and this just capitalized on by everyone. I mean, you can ask the average person on the street, and they will admit to you that, yeah, there's something fishy there. So this is a story I think is important, just to kind of rehash this idea that there is manipulation and we do know that they lied to us. So from here forward, I just think it's important to be critical of every story coming out about the Las Vegas false flag, because it definitely was. The question remains whether or not people actually died. I do think that there were victims there. And that's an important fact to note on there, is that the idea of a false flag does not inherently mean that nobody got killed. There is plenty of historical incidents where people were killed and it was indeed a false flag. So just important fact to remember there. Moving on to other news coming out of theantimedia.com, this is a very interesting story discussing the top five states that Americans are ditching in record numbers. And those states are as follows. That's Illinois, Connecticut, New Jersey, California, and Michigan. And actually the states that they're going to in record numbers are Arizona, Idaho, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee. And this is an interesting story because it really highlights the fact that it seems almost as if people are trying to leave these coastal areas that seem just wildly dominated by the elite culture and their tight circles of information that seem to at least in their minds and their eyes, dominate the truth. And in reality, there's a massive amount of people in the middle of this country that are the majority that are not represented in those circles of information. This really gives an insight to what the majority is thinking. And really, we should take note that these states that they're leaving are riddled with problems. In my opinion, are political problems. There's a lot of very very interesting political happenings that I think grossly underrepresent the people. They're not representing what the masses truly want. I mean, that's something, that's kind of the larger analogy here, is understanding that across the country, the people's will is no longer being represented, if it truly ever was. So this is an interesting story, and I think this is one that we're going to continue to follow and keep track of how many people do actually leave these states and how many more states get added to this list. And the final story from yesterday that will lead us into today, Iran arrests former president for inciting unrest. The former president, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name because I think I will just absolutely hack it, but he's been arrested for inciting unrest directly relating to what we've been seeing with the Iran protests. It's a really interesting case because it stems all the way back to the 2009 protests, where the U.S. has kind of been trying to relate that with what's going on today and connect the two. He's been arrested for the idea that he's been involved in whether it's facilitating the U.S. foreign intervention or simply stoking the fires and continuing to allow this to get out of hand. So far, we've seen an estimated 1,000 people arrested over the course of a little over a week in the protests. The article finishes saying Iran's Revolutionary Guard have declared the protests over at this point, and indications are that the only rallies on Sunday were in support of the government and against the protesters, who the leadership have branded as U.S.-backed. And this story leads us into the stories from today, and I want to begin with discussing a very interesting article coming out of Zero Hedge, and the title is, Who Killed the Iran Protests? And the article reads, One prime indicator that anti-government protests in Iran have truly died down to the point of now being completely snuffed out, as reports today suggest, and as we began reporting at the end of last week, is that current headlines are now merely focused on the barely lingering social media battle and anonymous YouTube activism, along with multiple post-mortem accounts of a failed movement already out. It seems there's now clear consensus that Iran's streets have gone quiet. It was evident by the end of last week that demonstrations were fizzling, even as the headlines breathlessly attempted to portray a bigger and more unified movement than what was actually occurring on the ground. Really, to me, this is quite clear that there's been foreign intervention here, and it was the attempt to see the same type of regime change we've seen all across the world carried out once again. And it's a very interesting story. It ultimately shows you that the people, as we said earlier in the last show, is that this was an organic protest to start, and that the people realized quite quickly that they were being used, which is very interesting. This shows kind of an awakening of awareness in this idea that in the past, people weren't this quick to recognize such an act, and that the people in this case, the Iranian people, were quick to realize that they were being used to facilitate a larger agenda. And it seems to that end that they completely stopped, and now we're seeing the end of these protests. But despite them coming to a swift end, I would argue that we have not seen the end of the story, and we're going to continue to see other proxy efforts continue to be carried out against Iran specifically. We discussed an interesting topic the other day in a past show about the very dangerously rising idea of Islamophobia in this country and across the world, and how that is easily going to be the next effort used to raise support for another war. I've said many times in the past that I highly doubt that we will see warfare like we've seen in the past, like world war actions. We're going to continue to see proxy wars carried out, because the idea of a nuclear war is just far too prevalent today. And I just really doubt that anybody sane, I mean, you could argue that there are some crazy leaders out there, but nobody truly wants to see the annihilation of the world, I would argue. So we're going to continue to see proxy wars carried out. And I will tell you right now, we're going to see it continue to revolve around Iran. That seems to be a very pivotal point. So keep an eye on the story and continue to spread information and ask questions. The next story I'd like to discuss is one that we've talked about in the past, a former writer, Tim Bryant, covered quite extensively, and that is the idea of Africa. The title is Shadow Armies, the Unseen but Real U.S. War in Africa. The story comes out of Geopolitics Alert. This is something that Ron Paul recently talked about, saying, and this is quite shocking to most Americans to find out, that the United States government is active and involved in 53 nations of the 54 in Africa. Like the article said, this is an unseen but very real war taking place. And the article goes on to discuss the greater idea of the diminishing power of the U.S. government and the Western powers, and how we're seeing these African nations now reach out to countries like Russia for help, essentially. And the article makes a very important point to take in here, because these ideas, these topics always tend to be very hyper-partisan and lumped in with one person or the other. And the article makes an excellent point, saying it is easy to pin the blame on U.S. President Donald Trump, his erratic agenda, and impulsive statements. But the truth is, the current U.S. military expansion in Africa is just another step in the wrong direction. It is part of a strategy that has been implemented a decade ago during the administration of President George W. Bush and actively pursued by President Barack Obama. This is something that really relates to the larger agenda of imperialism and U.S. hegemony across the world. And in my opinion, this directly ties in, clearly ties in with military action. As the article says, U.S. troops are now conducting 3,500 exercises and military engagements throughout Africa per year, an average of 10 per day. So clearly there's a military aspect here, but I truly believe that a lot of this has to do with resources, whether you're talking about oil, gold, or when we get into the more modern idea of technology, there's a lot of resources that we see like in the Congo that are specific to places like that, that are used in production of electronics, such as cell phones. And these are things that are very hard to find anywhere else in the world. And so it's very important these days, increasingly important, that these Western powers take control of these type of areas. But it completely ignores the idea of these countries' sovereignty and their human rights. And so what we're seeing is this secret war carried out across the continent of Africa for control, ultimately for control and geopolitical agendas. And it's just quite disgusting to see this happen, because these are people. And I always try to make this point when you're talking about any country, North Korea, Iran, Syria, that what we're seeing carried out, whether you think it's right or wrong, are within the governments. The people of these nations are being decimated, and they're not involved in this. I mean, to some degree, I'm sure there are people that support the government, but in every one of these countries, there are people just like us that don't want to see these things happen. And yet the sanctions carried out, the bombings carried out, they hurt the people of these countries. And that needs to be a point that we understand. In this day and age, we are seeing unprecedented civilian casualties at directly at the hands of the U.S. government, and under the guise of fighting terrorism or the greater idea of just stopping some kind of evil villain. And that always, again, we talked about recently, it's always painted as some kind of humanitarian effort. But yet when you're killing citizens, average citizens, indiscriminately, that is not a humanitarian effort. And we can go back to the idea of North Korea and the Korean War, where the United States government bombed about 60% of the country indiscriminately. And these are civilians we're talking about. And that directly leads into where the reason that North Korea is so hesitant to work with the United States government today. And this is the kind of thing, this is the same kind of thing we see carried out all across the world. And Africa is such an important, we've talked about this in the past, but we are going to see that war in Africa continue to rise, and it will become quite a topic in the near future. I mean, Libya was one that we discussed, but I think that only really gained attention because of the way it got carried out and the U.S. casualties we saw there. Of course, when the locals die, it's never really a point, but when you see an ambassador die for the United States government, of course, everybody gets involved. But there is some gross corruption and manipulation happening involved. We saw that in Libya, but all across the continent of Africa. So this secret war needs to start to gain attention. Hopefully the alternative media will continue to draw attention to this. But I plead with you all to continue to ask questions about this, research this topic, and spread the word. So the final story of today I'd like to get into directly relates to cryptocurrency. Early this morning, we saw a dramatic drop almost all across the board for cryptocurrency. And immediately everyone starts heralding, oh, this is the bubble popping. This is Tulip Mania 2.0. And that's what a lot of the mainstream pundits have been trying to claim for quite a long time. But this directly relates to a few interesting stories. First, litigation filed in India for immediate intervention of the flow of Bitcoins, essentially seeking an intervention to regulate the flow of Bitcoin. They're trying to make a direct connection to drug trafficking, human trafficking, things of this nature. And so we saw legislation passed to essentially intervene and stop these things from happening, or rather very closely track them. And so we saw an immediate representation of this in the markets today. The article reads, lawyer Bibas Chatterjee, if I'm saying that correctly, a cyber law expert and public prosecutor for several cybercrime related cases for the government's crime investigation department and the state police, stated in his filing, quote, drug trafficking, ransomware, extortion, and other unlawful activities are being facilitated by the use of cryptocurrencies, which need to be immediately banned or regulated. Another quote goes on to say, either the government should ban Bitcoin by declaring it illegal, like they do in China, or there must be a regulatory body to control its flow. Now, clearly, this had a direct effect on the markets today. But what's wildly hypocritical of this story is to make it seem as if Bitcoin is directly related to these things. But you could make these connections immediately with the US dollar and other currencies, and rather the governments behind them and how much they are involved in just these type of illegal acts. So in my opinion, this was a direct attack on cryptocurrency, like we've all kind of been expecting to see, because there's kind of a growing community getting out of reach from the governments right now, and peer-to-peer decentralized aspects that make them very nervous. And we also saw a very similar story taking place in South Korea coming out of the Zero Hedge. The article title is Ripple Wrecked Amid Crypto Carnage as South Korea Launches Probe. The article discusses that South Korean regulators are now inspecting six banks, including Industrial Bank of Korea, that provide virtual accounts to companies related to cryptocurrency, and has sparked selling pressure across the entire space, with Ripple down almost 20% today. More than just Ripple, but that's the focus of this article specifically. And new legislation will seek to place heavy restrictions on how cryptocurrency exchanges can operate in South Korea, as well as who can use them and to what extent. Now, again, this has clearly had a direct effect on the markets today. And this is, I think we will see this happen pretty much across all governments, because this is something that directly threatens what they're trying to accomplish behind the scenes. But this is something that needs to stand out to us, because this is going to continue to happen. And they're trying clearly to frame cryptocurrency as some kind of like a pirate currency that has the ability to usurp what they're trying, or really rather to carry out illegal acts. That's really what it's focused on. That this somehow facilitates illegal actions and money laundering, and which it's possible and probably does, but so does the currencies of their current government. And I think that's where the manipulation comes in. Now, the final story I want to touch on today is something that directly ties in with what we're talking about today. And this is one that most people I don't think we're very aware of. And the title is IRS Succeeds in Compelling Crypto Exchange to Disclose User Information. And this is specifically talking about Coinbase. The article reads, after several rounds in court, the IRS eventually agreed to limit its demands to include only those users who bought, sent, sold, or received at least $20,000 through their accounts. In an order issued on November 28, 2017, a magistrate judge further narrowed the summons and ordered Coinbase to comply. It permitted the IRS to collect the names, addresses, birth dates, taxpayer IDs, and transaction histories of all users meeting specific criteria. Now, this is a major precedent that I don't think got much attention when it happened, but it directly relates to what we're talking about today. And all of this is acutely focused on the idea of trying to stop the anonymous, decentralized aspect of cryptocurrency. And for all the people that truly understand what this movement is about, that is crippling. And that is something that we cannot allow to happen. And again, to reiterate, the bottom line is that regardless of the anonymity behind cryptocurrency and the decentralized aspect, the kind of crimes that they're trying to directly link with this anonymous aspect, we see carried out on a daily basis behind the scenes with the governments directly behind the current currencies that are being used. The dollar is a perfect example. And there is so much corruption and manipulation taking place behind the US dollar directly related to crime and money laundering and drug trafficking all across the world. And yet we're trying now to make it seem like cryptocurrency is the problem. Now, this is a very dangerous precedent to be setting, and it's something that we need to continue to stand behind and really draw attention to and make sure everybody understands that this is a gross manipulation of what's really happening. So for further information on any of the topics we discussed today, check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any number of the important independent sites that we are including in the show notes below. And always question everything and come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.